Hello, this is Len Krause from CORE CDI with another great podcast. I'm so privileged today to have Dr. Taffy Anderson. She's a physician advisor for the CDI program at Penn State Medical Center in Hershey, Pennsylvania. I was introduced to her by Deanna Wilkes. She was a CDI manager, and she posted something on LinkedIn that really caught my attention, so I reached out to Dr. Anderson. She was so gracious today to spend a few minutes with us on the podcast, and I want what we like to do today is what I call this driving CDI performance with purpose, because Dr. Anderson really sees the value of integrating novel concepts of interactions with physicians, new ideas that you can integrate into your CDI program to really drive improvement and in the integrity of the documentation. So, Dr. Anderson, welcome to the podcast. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Great. And so what we'd like to do today, Dr. Anderson, is maybe touch base on the three top successes of what you've integrated or implemented into your program to really really seek out and engage physicians, creating a vision that really inspires the physicians to want to become willing participants versus what I see today as passive participants. We send a query, and then we hope that they answer the query, and we track how many queries and so forth and the impact. So what are the top three things, if you can go into kind of a little detail of what top three areas you're focusing on that you're really proud of?
I'm really proud of our program because we have decided that the CDI specialist needs to be a part of the team. So that encompasses all three of my top three, what we're doing here, is we have said to our CDI specialist, in particular, just how, you know, you have a rounding team every day with the physicians. And included in the rounding team, in most hospitals now, they include a pharmacist, you may have a nutritionist, and then you have your residents, your medical students, and you have the attending. We have asked our CDI specialists to be a part of that team, and in particular, we've said not only are you to be a part of the team, but we also have them implementing where they're at least on the floors, rounding or sitting on the floor, being available to the team to answer questions for approximately 1 to 4 hours a day. So, for example, we have a trauma service, and we have a CDI specialist that is specifically assigned to that service. So they know who she is. They're able to go to her. She rounds with the team at 7 a.m. They have morning report. They sit down and do their morning report. And then subsequently she rounds with them at the bedsides. So in real time, she's talking to them about their documentation, where areas that they can improve. And they're looking to her for answers. And our team wants, our trauma team, they want to improve in their documentation. And we have seen a great improvement with this rounding. We also ask them to be a part. We have what we call UAC teams, where basically it's a collaboration with nursing as well as with the physician. They meet once a week to discuss any patient concerns, safety concerns, quality concerns during that one-hour meeting. We also ask our CDI to attend those meetings. I particularly attend those meetings where we get an opportunity to discuss not only documentation, but here at Hershey, we are very much committed to quality and safety. We are actually, the CDI program is under the quality department. So at this time, we're able to discuss the patient safety indicators that the CDI have picked up. We can discuss the pressure injuries that we might be seeing, the collapses that we might be seeing, and discuss them in real time and have opportunities for improvement. So we're also looking at the quality of care that we're giving our patients. Also, we are looking at if sometimes I'm involved in the patient safety indicators, so I have peer-to-peer conversations with the physicians. And they, during that conversation, they may ask me, well, you know, I want you to look at, in particular, certain diagnoses that may occur in the hospital that need more special attention. Are we diagnosing them correctly? So our CDR are involved in projects, particular projects that would be involved, that would occur as well. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Can you offer some of the projects? Because you know what? I think that's really wonderful that the CDI is just not only focusing on diagnoses, they're also focusing on the quality indicators and the quality of communication. Any specific projects you want to share?
Yes. We, right now, well, we actually have a dedicated nurse, RN, that is in our CDA program that does particularly quality projects. So, for example, she looks at all of the mortalities and looking at the mortalities, looking at the diagnoses. In particular, if there's a diagnosis that it was treated, then she would query the physician. So she's looking at our, and also looking to say, you know what, I do see a quality issue that might have occurred during this patient's stay, and that is escalated to myself or Dr. Khalid, who's also one of our physician advisors.
Oh, great.
We look at it, and we have a mortality committee that actually came out of the CDI, our program, and we said, you know, we need a mortality committee that would be taking the, we can escalate these cases so mm-hmm. they can have further review. Also, the PSI, our Patient Safety Indicator Committee, came out of our PSI program where we, my predecessor, Dr. Smith, was looking at the cases from the CDI. They were sending him cases to say, we believe this is a postoperative pulmonary embolism, which would mm-hmm. be a PSI 12.
That's right, not
but
a good one.
Our CDI know exactly what to look for PSIs. They send them now to me. We have developed a patient safety indicator committee where I bring those cases before the committee, and then we start a peer-to-peer process if the PSI is determined preventable or indeterminate.
Right.
And we now, and I meet with the quality leaders from the surgery departments monthly. I have standing meetings to go through their PSI.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
That was all initiative that came from the PD, from our CDI.
Oh, that's wonderful. That brings me up to an interesting question or concept. So when I was working at UMC Las Vegas, we had issues of PSIs of post-op respiratory failure. And
yes.
I happened to be on the, what was it, on the quality? Yeah, the quality. I invited myself to the quality monthly quality meeting at the urging of the VP of quality, a very sharp person who kind of paved the way. And so what I did, so they were talking about post-op respiratory failure. And so I started asking questions, and I think this is why CDI needs to be at these meetings, UR committee meetings and so forth, because they bring a unique perspective. So in this particular case, I was they were going on and on about post-op respiratory failure. So I set up a meeting with the head of the trauma trauma services, the academic medical center, to kind of drill down further. Turns out the reason why we had some most post-op respiratory failure, because when they set up the new Epic system, the only diagnosis they put in the EHR under the drop-down was post-op respiratory failure. So just getting involved, I think, in these committees and getting out of the realms of just thinking about queries and diagnosis, we can make a tremendous difference in the quality of communication. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Again, looking at post-operative respiratory failure, we have, you know, CMS has a coding clinic that basically says, you know, we're going to give your institution some leeway in what you're considering postoperative respiratory failure. So here within this institution, we look at it in terms of, did the patient really have respiratory failure 12 hours post-op, 6 hours post-op, or is that ventilatory management, meaning you're not able to wean that patient? So that education is going out from our CDI staff. So therefore, we want to be transparent, but we also want to be very honest. If that patient has respiratory failure, yes, we're going to take that in particular. But if the patient is having difficulty just weaning off the vent because the procedure was prolonged, then we're also going to take that as well.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I'm just very, very happy to see that you have a forward-thinking program. It's not based on the key performance indicators, typical KPIs, which, I don't get me wrong, they do carry a role. They do play in a role. But I think part of the stymie that, and I want to get your take on this. I've gotten several LinkedIn messages from people reading my posts and blogs and so forth, and conversations and webinars, that CDI can do so much more. We're just not given the opportunity because we've become basic, not your facility, but in general, I believe we've become taskmasters. We're leaving queries in the hopes of jacking up a case mix through the query CCMCC, but we're not focusing on the entire record. And if we can't offload these ingrained KPIs that seem to be the gospel of CDI performance, I don't think we're ever going to get to where your program is. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can't comment on other programs because I only know about our program. I think we have the advantage because we are looking at the quality. We are under the quality department.
Right.
So therefore, and Deanne Wilk, our manager, is very visionary in terms of where does CDI need to be in the future. And we know that quality is really going to be the quality of care is really going to be the driving force for patients as well as physicians. And I can tell you, in our peer-to-peer conversations with a physician that might have, you know, a patient safety indicator, let's say it was a 12, we are not only seeing where that physician says, you know, this did happen, but maybe I should start the anticoagulation a little bit earlier. So we're actually seeing outcomes from where the CDI is saying there is a PSI 12 here, and then I'm taking it to our physicians, and the ortho department is now looking to say, we instead of 72 hours, maybe we should start looking at starting the anticoagulation at 48 hours. We've seen that change.
Oh, that, you know what? That's really tremendous, because when you get the, I think a lot of hospitals, at least the ones I've done some work as part of the provider side, and then also the consultants, I see that these committees meet and we have a conversation with that physician, but it's not changing potential practice patterns.
Yes.
That led to this particular unfortunate outcome. And I also see, tell me what you think of this. I see sometimes where PSIs happen to come up, but it's because it's really attributable to the way the doctor documented something. The way they documented, the words that they used may not equate to the code. So there's a disconnect between the code, and if we can use this opportunity when you identify a PSI to do some first line education to their physicians on how to appropriately capture their clinical judgment and the assessment of the patient to reflect their medical decision making and their thought processes, I think some of these PSIs could be driven down. Your thoughts on that?
I do agree, and we have seen exactly that happen. We have, in particular, CDI that are present on each service, so each
yes.
one of them have a service line.
Yeah.
And we have an excellent CDI that is working with our HVI, the and vascular.
Oh, yeah?
group. So there's actually two of them, and they sit on the floor. They round with the vascular group, and then they're available with them. They sit on the floor for up to 4 hours a day, answer their questions. In particular, if they have they see a postoperative hematoma, that's going to be a PSI 9. They're educating them. They're making sure the documentation is complete. But sometimes our CDI are so good in terms of knowing the inclusion and exclusion criteria.
Oh, that's great.
They understand. You know, this patient has had major bleeding, came in with on anticoagulation, went to surgery emergently. They were able to get the INR down a little bit with reversal, but they still had to go in. So they're understanding, wait a minute, this postoperative hematoma could have been from anticoagulation.
Right.
The doctor said it, but they need better documentation.
Oh, yes. So it's really a matter of, you know, I've worked with residents quite a lot, including the UMC. We had a formal program started, just like a regular course meeting once a week for an hour. And you know what? Most physicians, would you agree? Just a couple of key points. I want to kind of ask your questions and we'll wrap this up. Most physicians want to do right. Okay, but they haven't been told right, or they've been given conflicting information. So my next question is, do you see any value in CDI, or is your program working collaboratively with the case managers and you are in any fashion? And if not, do you see any value in that?
We do have our emergency room CDI specialist who does work with the UM and care coordination team. I do believe there is a value there, especially in the emergency room, getting these patients admitted. You know, are they ops? Are they inpatient? And she in particular is able to talk to the physicians, talk to the residents in terms of helping them get the documentation that they need.
Just a couple of questions, because that kind of pique my interest now, and I think it should for others. When is this person down in the ER 8-10 hours a day? Are they providing feedback on diagnoses, or are they providing any information about, let's say, the way the record projects the acuity, starting with the chief complaint and history of present illness? Or is it basically, you know, the traditional, which I'm not saying is bad, just working on the assessment and trying to introduce or capture the doctor's thought processes in the terms of diagnoses to make that segue into the H&P and admission?
No, she is down there 8 hours a day.
Right.
She walks around with her computer.
Yeah.
And she is actively involved with speaking to the doctors and the residents in real time with their documentation. So she's doing all of that, exactly what you said. But in particular, on all of our CDI are now on the floors and working with their specific service lines and essentially doing the same thing. We have a major educational part that they have to do. Every week, the CDI are sending, or in real time, I shouldn't say sending, they're sending us the information and the presentation that they did for their service line. But they are on the floor giving this presentation every day.
Oh, this is wonderful.
We receive it, yes.
This is, that's why I said driving CDI performance with purpose, because it sounds to me, what really comes out of this conversation, Dr. Anderson, is that your leadership in CDI and your physician advisors, including you, recognize CDI performance with purpose means rolling up your sleeves and recognizing the tremendous opportunity that CDI can have working with physicians as constituents, not targets of queries. This is just wonderful.
Oh, no. It's the whole team that works together. Mm-hmm. Deanne Wilk, our manager, has had the vision, okay, Taffy, you come on board. Let's get the CDI out on the floors working as if they are, you know, they are part of the team like a family.
That's right.
And that's exactly what her vision was, and that's what I'm here to implement. I focus mostly on the patient safety indicators, and I really like that our CDI, when they're reviewing charts, they're looking for CCs or MCCs.
Right.
But they're also looking for inclusion and exclusion criteria for the PSIs. And then they're educating. We are very transparent here. If there's a PSI that needs to be included and they need that documentation for inclusion, they're educating that physician to say, we had a complication here. And, you know, they're asking what happened. And so most of it in particular, I ask them to do this in real time,
right,
not through a query, because you need to find out what was that physician thinking, what happened during that case, and then they can educate you. And then you make a decision, okay, do I need to send the query, or you're doing a verbal query right then.
And I think that's great, because you know what? I'm finding, you know, just a couple of key points, I promise. What I'm finding is that the queries, everyone is too focused on the queries. They're not on the floor. And I think that's a take-home point for this podcast. If you want to be an effective CDI professional, you can't do it remotely. It's not possible. You need to be on the floor building rapport and relationships and having these quick 2-minute, what I call talking points or talking moments, if you will. It's a lot more effective than leaving a query and the doctor may not see it till the next day, or he may be going off duty and he doesn't see the query, and then the next day the hospital's taken over, or the nocturnist doesn't want to answer because that wasn't part of his management of the patient. Doesn't want to speak, particularly for quality issues. He doesn't want to take credit for maybe an adverse event or untoward outcome which has no impact on them. It's not even related to their clinical judgment or their clinical skill sets. Things just happen sometimes. And so if you have that conversation, talking point, teaching moment, I call it, this is where CDI has an impact. This is where you have performance with purpose, not a query. So I just wanted to say, you know, I'm really impressed with your program. Is there any kind of last message you want to kind of drive home that makes your program so successful to get people thinking, hey, we need to do the same thing as Penn State Medical Center is doing?
Again, I think it's the rapport with the physician. It's the rounding. It's being a part of their team.
Right.
Staying up there on that floor, saying, I'm available to you for questions. Also, the CDI are learning. You're also learning a process. Our CDI are nurses. So each one of them, again, have their own service line.
Mm-hmm.
And in HVI, you have ECMO patients. We have LVAD patients. So having a CDI on the floor, understanding exactly what is this device? What are the complications that can go wrong? And asking and being part of that team, you are not going to lose. The doctor sees you as, you know, instead of you asking me a question,
uh-huh,
I now know you're part of my team and you're not questioning me, but you want to know about my patient. And
that's right.
And that the quality of care is acceptable in what I'm doing. You have to be a part of the team.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the last sentence I want to say is that if we can help the physician help the patient, that's the hallmark of a program. If I can create a vision of myself working as a team with physicians and the other stakeholders to help the physician, help the patient get the best care at the right time, at the right reason, with the right documentation, with the right quality metrics that emanate from good, solid communication of care, that's the model that I see your program really excelling in. And I want to say thank you for your time. It's been quite enlightening to see how you drive performance with purpose. And folks, I appreciate you listening to our podcast. There's a host of other podcasts on my website, core-cdi.com, with additional resources. And if you haven't signed up for our newsletter, I don't send out spam or anything. I try to send out a case study or at least a podcast a couple of times a month. And if you sign up for our email, you'll get the podcast without having to look for them. And thank you so much, everyone, for your time. Look forward to continued podcasts.